Hey, I made sure to ask him multiple times throughout the past month just to make sure it wasn't some elaborate April Fool's Day joke. It wasn't, and I'm prepared to speak to you tonight. Hopefully everyone has realized that today is April Fool's Day, and hopefully you all have been wise enough to not have been fooled by somebody today or even a company. April 1st has turned into a day in America where many will be fooled or tricked or maybe be pranked on by a friend or a company. I will admit I enjoy a good, kind-hearted, harmless, practical joke from time to time. Some can be humorous. Sometimes people take things too far, and of course we don't want that. But one of my favorite April Fool's Day pranks occurred in 1998. That year, Burger King paid for a full-page ad in USA Today. And they made this ad to announce the introduction of a new item to their menu, the left-handed Whopper. The ad explained that the left-handed Whopper contained the same ingredients as the original Whopper. However, this Whopper here is special in that all the ingredients on the inside was rotated 180 degrees. So that way, you know, everyone that is left-handed will be able to have a better grip on the burger and will be able to get the same taste that the right-handed people have been getting all these years. So I thought that was funny. The next day, Burger King released another ad to inform everybody that the left-handed Whopper was a hoax. Surprise. But by that point, they actually had people going to Burger King and trying to order the left-handed burger. So sometimes people are easily fooled. I don't know, maybe they won as a joke, but some were going to Burger King asking for the left-handed burger. So if you're anything like me, you do your best not to be fooled. I don't like to be fooled, and I don't like to have egg on my face. So at the very least, you do your best not to be able to be called a fool by anybody. And I believe the fact that you all are here this evening, here to worship God, here to pray, here to sing these songs, here to hear another portion of God's word, I think that fact goes to show that you probably don't want to be a fool. You're here to gain some type of wisdom this evening. We don't want to be classified as fools. We want to be wise, and God wants us to be wise as well. And so this evening, on April Fool's Day, we're going to talk about a few things that Christians should avoid, a few things that Christians should strive for as well in order to not be a fool. But before we dive too deep into how to be wise and how to not be a fool, first we need to agree on the definition of what a fool is. So if you pick up the closest dictionary to you and turn to the word fool, you'll probably discover a definition in there that says something along the lines of a person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a silly person. That's the definition I found. And so if that definition describes you, then this lesson will be for you. But I hope we'll all be able to get something from this lesson. See, it's one thing for people to call you a fool. It's one thing for mankind to label you as a fool. But it's far worse for God to call you a fool. So we need to understand what makes us a fool in the eyes of God, because that's ultimately what's truly important. Fortunately for us, there are countless verses in the Bible that explains how God describes a fool. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Proverbs 29, verse 11. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Proverbs 28, 26. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers his shame. Proverbs 12, verse 16. And really, I could go on and on with verses very similar like this about what makes one a fool in the eyes of God. But personally, I believe that one of the best definitions of a fool is found in Psalms chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14, the very first verse. Psalms chapter 14, the first verse. The psalmist there says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." And he goes on from there. We'll get to verse 2 later on. "But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God." This past week, Andrea and I have been watching a lot of nature documentaries with the kids. And if you ever want a million and one questions, spend an hour watching a nature documentary with 2 4-year-olds. But we were watching, and we were just completely amazed and in awe of the abundance of life that's all over the world. Not only that, but the intricacies of life all over the world, and all the many places that you can find life. We watched episodes on mountains and deserts and the Arctic, and there's life all over this planet, and all uniquely suited for where they live. We watched and we talked about it. We both, you know, quickly realized that there's so much order in this world that there has to be someone, obviously, that has given us this order. It reminded me of what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. There he says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So we are completely without excuse because God demonstrates himself to us every single day in the things that he has created. But the fool says in his heart that there is no God. But belief in God by itself doesn't automatically take you from being a fool to being wise. We can confess our faith in God, in Jesus, in the Bible that's been given to us through the Holy Spirit. But we can still be a fool if we only give God our lip service. Those who give lip service to God are fools, just like the ones who say that God doesn't exist. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that was just read for us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. There in verse 24, we also read this this morning. In verse 24, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock," dropping down to verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." And he goes on from there. We know what happened to the man who built his house on the sand. Backing up to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, there Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So a fool is one who doesn't believe in God. Moreover, a fool is one who says, "I'm a Christian," but is not a Christian in their actions, or in their speech, or in their attitude, or in their own thoughts. That's foolish. That's being a fool. Only a fool will give lip service to God, because God knows the heart. So let's move on to another passage. This will be the main passage for this evening that will help us understand what we need to do in order to not be called or be labeled a fool by God. So if you would, please turn over to Luke chapter 12. We'll be reading verses 13 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And while you're turning there, let me just say that this is one of my favorite parables to read to the kids. We have a story Bible, and there's the part in the story where God says, "You fool!" And I always try to say it with a low, loud, booming, authoritative voice, and whenever the kids hear that, they think it's the funniest thing in the world. But in reality, try to imagine God with his voice that's been described as thunder, a voice so powerful that the children of Israel said, "No more, God, don't talk to us, go away," when they're there at the mountain. Try to imagine the voice of God declaring to you, "You fool." Truly, that is a terrifying thing to think about, something that really shakes me to my core to even think about. But it's with that thought in mind that we'll begin reading at verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. Again, we'll read verses 13 through 21. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses." But then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" So the first thing that I would like for us to realize about this parable is that the foolish fix their eyes only on the things of this earth. Consider this man. He was well prepared. He had things laid up for many years. He was well prepared for his many years here on earth. He was ready for retirement. He had, in today's term, he had his Social Security, he had his 401k, he had his 457 plan, he had his pension. He was set. But that's really all that he was thinking about. That's all that he was considering. The things of the earth, the material things. This is foolish. Planning ahead is fine, and it's a really good thing to do. We're told to be wise and to plan ahead. But we should never let the affairs of this life or the material things of this life blind us from pushing towards our goal. The things of this life shouldn't distract us from where we will end up in eternity. And this is a foolish trap that I think is very easy for us to get into, and one that I myself have been guilty of at times. I mean, I get paid every 2 weeks, and the first thing I do on that Friday morning is start paying bills, and I'm excited to do that. I start paying the bills. I get wrapped up into seeing, okay, my student loans are coming down, and man, my savings are going up. This is fantastic. And next thing I realize, an hour has gone by. And I realized that all I've thought about for that past hour was the earthly things, the money and the future, the earthly things. That's what the foolish man does, because money can disappear like that. And no one controls the future but God. But the foolish man doesn't understand that, or rather the foolish man doesn't even consider that fact. The man in this parable, he probably wasn't a fool in the eyes of the people that were around him. This man was clearly a good farmer. He was a good businessman. He knew how to handle his funds. He knew how to manage his money. He knew how to hire workers. He was so successful that he was able to have enough to tear down his barns and have to make new ones, make bigger ones. He was set with his retirement plan, but God called him a fool. Fool. Why? Because his eyes were not set on God. His eyes were set on worldly things. So the foolish set their eyes on the things of the earth, but the wise set their eyes on heaven. The wise will strive to live their lives with an eternal life perspective. And we'll talk about that more in a moment, about living our lives with an eternal life perspective. And the second thing that I'd like for us to realize about this man is that fools set their eyes on increasing their wealth. That's all this man was really concerned with. Now, being wealthy doesn't make one foolish, but being wealthy while giving no thought to God does make one foolish. Again, the foolish set their eyes on wealth, while the wise set their eyes on being rich towards God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 through 24. There it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" Again, if we want to be wise, if we don't want to be a fool, then we need to set our eyes to our wealth in heaven. How do we build our wealth in heaven? Jesus explains this. He tells us in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, how to build our wealth in heaven. Again, that's John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. There Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you, 'Abide in me and I in you.' As the branch cannot bear the fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So the foolish man sets his eyes on the wealth of the earth. But the wise man sets his eyes on the wealth that's in heaven. And how do we build that wealth? We build our wealth by bearing fruit for God's kingdom. That's the wealth, that's the treasure that truly matters. Something to consider. Are we being wise in that regard? Are we bearing fruit? Are we thinking about our wealth that's in heaven? The third thing that I'd like for us to realize is that the foolish man or the foolish one sets their eyes on themselves. Again, this man, he lived for himself. He talked to himself. He planned for himself. He congratulated himself. Now, I mean, talking to yourself doesn't make you foolish, but this man was just totally immersed with himself, that there was no room left for God. To a fool, everything is about himself, and there's nothing for God. This man was acting just like Israel was when God was describing them in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1, the Lord is speaking. He says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." See, this man here, he was worried about himself. He was so focused on himself that he never even considered God in any of his plans. The foolish set their eyes on themselves. But on the opposite side of the coin, the wise man says, "None of self and all of thee." This is a song that we sing sometimes, song number 359. None of self and all of thee. And in the last line of the song, we sing, Lord, thy love at last has conquered. None of self and all of thee. When we say that, are we being honest? When we sing that, do we wake up Monday morning and live that? If not, then we're being like the foolish man. The foolish man lived for himself. He only thought of himself. He only thought about what these things could do for himself, and he never even considered, what does God want? How does God play into all of this? This also was a problem at the church, the Galatian church. You can see what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? See, there Paul is saying we're nothing without God. We have no chance of becoming perfect without God. Life without God is completely vain. Life without God is completely worthless if we're only living it for ourselves. That's foolish. If we're only living for ourselves, this life is just vanity. So that's how we're foolish. We're foolish if we're only focused on ourselves. We're foolish when we only focus on the wealth of this life. We're foolish if we only think about the things of the earth. So how can we be wise? Well, very simply, it's the flip side of all of those things. Three things. Live life with an eternal perspective. Set your heart on God and not the riches of this earth. And put others above yourself. Put God first. Live with an eternal perspective. This I like to think of Colossians 3, verses 2 through 7. There Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He said, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Stop thinking about the things that are here on earth. Set your mind on things above. Separate yourself from fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. Paul's telling them, live life with an eternal perspective. Stop thinking about these things of the earth, the carnal things, and set your mind on things above. Set your heart on God and not the riches of this earth. I'd like to go back and continue where we left off in Psalms chapter 14. Psalms chapter 14, we read the first verse, and now I'd like to read the second verse. Psalms chapter 14, we'll start at verse 1 again. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. So set your heart on God and not the riches of this life. When God is looking down for those who understand, will he see you looking up at him? If you're striving to be wise, then he'll see you. If you're striving to be wise, then you'll be doing everything in your power to seek God, to understand his word, and to be looking for ways to implement it in every facet of your life. Finally, putting others above yourself, something that this foolish man lacked. He only thought of himself. Everything was about himself. I have these barns. I have these things. I will do this. I will do that. So put others above yourself if you want to be wise. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We ought to love one another. If we want to be wise, then we will embody these verses. And think of others before ourselves. But even more so, think of God before anything. God comes first. This evening, examine yourself. Have you been fooled? Have you allowed yourself into being fooled, into fixing your eyes only on the earthly things? Have you allowed yourself to be fooled into fixing your eyes only on wealth? Have you allowed yourself to be fooled into fixing your eyes only on yourself? Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Think about these things, and if you are being fooled by these things, then fix it tonight. If you're not a Christian, then why not? Have you allowed yourself to be fooled into thinking that this is a decision that can be put off? Tomorrow is not promised. Have you been fooled into being comfortable in the world and being content in this world? Really, that's a question for those who aren't Christians, and a question for those who are Christians as well. Are you being fooled into being comfortable here? Or are your eyes set on things above? Have you considered your life after death? These are things to consider. Don't be foolish. Be wise. So if anyone has any needs, if anyone has anything that they would like for us to pray about, or anyone who wants to be baptized, this time is for you. We encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing for your encouragement.